from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
It was quite a day for a Georgia yesterday as it added a member to its 2019 class, and a big one in that, with five-star offensive lineman Clay Webb. Dog Nation was on the scene to bring you the coverage live, and we'll talk to Jeff Sintel some more about that later on, about the story behind the story, the behind-the-scenes look at what indeed went down with Clay Webb. You may have seen our live video coverage yesterday, but you don't know the entire story. Jeff Sintel will give all of that to you coming up in just a couple of minutes. I'll also have some more on Clay Webb myself here in a couple of minutes too. But let me begin with the aftermath of the Webb decision. Webb does his deal there around 11 a.m. Eastern time yesterday, and the immediate follow-up to that, you know, sometimes good news begats more good news, and sometimes recruiting can develop a momentum all of its own, and yesterday online, you kind of saw some of that. I think there's already a sense among Dog Nation that Georgia may be gearing up to have quite a conclusion to its 2019 recruiting cycle, at least in terms of the December version. There are a few guys we'll have to wait till January to find out about, and a couple we may even have to wait till February to know the full story on. But in terms of the buildup towards December, there seems to be an optimism right now among Dog Nation that this is indeed heading to a pretty good place. And yesterday online was another example of how maybe that's true, because shortly after Clay Webb made his decision live on the Dog Nation video channels to commit to the University of Georgia, you had the five-star defensive end, that arguably you can say the nation's top prospect in Nolan Smith, who has been a Georgia commit for a long time, but has also visited around a lot of different places. Well, he got online yesterday and said, hey, I've got an announcement of my own that I kind of want to make here. If you're watching, I'll show you this tweet on the screen. He says, I'm coming home. And he goes on to kind of a long message about how that, you know, he's basically reaffirming his commitment to Georgia. He shows a nice set of pictures with a lot of the folks that he cares about there at Georgia. And this is not necessarily a surprise. I mean, I think around here we've expected Nolan Smith to be a part of this 2019 class for Georgia for quite some time. We haven't really taken too many of the visits other places or tweets about other schools. We never really took much of that seriously. If anything, we kind of thought that was an example of Nolan Smith kind of trolling some of the rival fan bases and some of the other folks that were out there. We thought that might be an example of that. So it's not really a news or a surprise to us that Nolan Smith is indeed reaffirming his commitment to Georgia. But nonetheless, Nolan's one of these guys in the recruiting ranks that kind of is a little bit of a Pied Piper. He's a great recruiter on Georgia's behalf. A lot of guys who are coming to Georgia are probably coming to Georgia because of Nolan. He's a vocal guy. He's a charismatic presence. And when he starts doing stuff, he's just going to naturally create some followers. He's a natural leader, it would seem, and leaders have followings. And when Nolan kind of gets into his deal yesterday, there's this whole set of dominoes that starts to fall beyond that, because after Trayvon Walker, another five-star UGA commit, saw how much fun that Nolan Smith had reaffirming his commitment to Georgia, Trayvon Walker, who is a very good player, he got on board and kind of did the same thing. Here is the tweet from Trayvon Walker, who, you know, kind of gives the exclamation marks there for what Nolan Smith does, and then goes on to kind of tweet his own deal about how he was staying with Georgia and he wasn't, you know, changing his mind. He was going to stick with that the entire time, and Walker obviously kind of made that sort of Twitter official yesterday. Ryan Trouble Davis, the terrific linebacker who recently turned down a chance to take a visit to Alabama, he also reaffirmed his status at Georgia. He says it's about to get serious in Athens. Later on, Jermaine Johnson, another UGA commit, would kind of respond to him about that. So you have all this stuff that kind of goes down on Twitter yesterday in terms of these Georgia commits saying, you know, kind of, I guess, you know, catching the bug that Clay Webb had got, who made his commitment to Georgia official. These guys all said, you know what, we're still as rock solid as Georgia as we've ever been. And obviously that kind of got some folks excited and kind of got some people revved up. But where this conversation takes an interesting turn is with some of the uncommitted players who also got into the act. And this is where maybe we get a little bit of a foreshadowing of what could be to come for Georgia and the closeout to the December portion of the 2019 class. Because, as you know, Nolan Smith is at IMG Academy. IMG Academy, one of the premier programs in all the country. Hard to imagine a school that has more of an entrenched collection of elite prospects than IMG does. One of those guys that's a teammate of Nolan Smith is the five-star running back Trey Sanders. When Nolan Smith said, hey, I'm coming home and basically sticking at Georgia, Trey Sanders put a tweet out there. Sanders, who just took a visit to Georgia this past weekend, who we've talked about now a few times recently on Dog Nation Daily, says, you got any extra room? Basically meaning, hey, if you're going to be at home at Georgia, you got some room for me to call Georgia my home as well? And then Nolan Smith would sort of humorously later on tweet back to Trey Sanders that he could have his bed and that Nolan would just sleep on the floor, which is kind of a cool example of Nolan being a pretty good recruiter on Georgia's behalf. But it wasn't just Trey Sanders. It was also the elite defensive back from down in South Florida, Tyreek Stevenson, who kind of got in on all this, too. He saw the fun that that Trey Sanders was having, saw the fun that the Georgia commits were having. And Tyreek Stevenson had his own tweet about Nolan Smith. He gives you a collection of emojis, and including the bulldog there, which obviously is a positive message coming from Tyreek Stevenson. So if you're a Georgia fan, what do you do with all of this? The honest truth is I really don't know, because the battle for Trey Sanders in Georgia is going to continue to be a really tough one. As we have talked about, we'll talk to Jeff Sintel more about this a little bit later on. You know, Georgia is trying to make up a lot of ground really quickly. Now, Jeff has laid out, and on Friday's show, he did lay out why it is, you know, at least reasonable to think that Georgia, over the course of a visit that I'm sure went well this past weekend, could actually close that gap with Trey Sanders. Jeff has talked about the potential absence of a couple running backs on this year's team that may not be back for 2019. It's not a guarantee that Elijah Holyfield won't at least consider going to the NFL. It's not a guarantee that that Brian Harry might not look around and look at some of the options available to him, too. That there is at least some consideration that these guys might, you know, think about their future here. So it's not a given that all the running backs that are currently on Georgia's roster will be back on Georgia's roster next season. A guy like Trey Sanders may pay attention to that. I would think that, as Jeff has pointed out, Alabama's chances at Sanders also hurt somewhat by the fact that Mike Locksley, the Alabama offensive coordinator who used to be that in that role, about to become Maryland head coach, that's a guy that was instrumental in Sanders' recruitment to Alabama, and he's not going to be there anymore. Plus, as Jeff has pointed out, and he mentioned this on Friday on our program, you've also got the situation where Alabama has become a very pass-happy offense as of late. Running backs not getting the same amount of love from the Crimson Tide that they have gotten in recent years. Obviously, at Georgia, this is still a place that puts running backs at a premium and puts them up on a pedestal that could potentially propel them, to use kind of an alliterative phrase, potentially propel them into the NFL. That's what Georgia offers Trey Sanders. Now, you've got Florida to deal with, too, and depending on how seriously you take Dan Mullen as a recruiting threat, maybe that's an issue. But certainly the tweet from Sanders would at least lead you to believe that he's strongly considering UGA. Now, maybe this is an example of Sanders trolling Georgia, much the same way that Nolan Smith has trolled Alabama. We won't know that for a while, but you got to be in it to win it. And right now it looks like Georgia is in it, at least with Trey Sanders. Then obviously Tyreek Stevenson, the other name we just mentioned there, that is a player that Georgia desperately needs. Refilling the coffers at defensive back now that DeAndre Baker's on his way to the NFL, that is something that Georgia has desperately got to do. And you no doubt assume that Stevenson sees a guy like DeAndre Baker from the same general vicinity part of the world that Stevenson's from, having the success at Georgia he just had, Jim Thorpe Award winner, likely first-round pick. You've got to imagine that becomes a little bit easy for Tyreek Stevenson to imagine himself in that same role. So, you know, obviously we still got a little bit of a waiting game to play here where a lot of these guys are going to go. But I do think things are about to get fun, just like it was fun yesterday watching all of this unfold with Georgia going into the state of Alabama, pulling a five-star offensive lineman that Alabama wanted. I'd say that's a recruiting win for Georgia that has both a symbolic and tangible value, and there could be some more of these to come. It is indeed a knockdown drag out here in the final days, closing out the 2019 recruiting cycle, at least heading towards the start of early signing period in December. And at the moment, it certainly appears that Georgia is in the mix for all the players that fans want them to be. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hello to you, and thank you for being with us, no matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed. We're also on the radio at noon with our friends in the Classic City on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and we are available in podcast form wherever you find podcasts, including the Apple Podcast Player or the worldfamousdognation.com. We're just really glad to have you with us here today. We really appreciate Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. You know, Marco's treats every day like game day because they're always bringing their best. That means dough made fresh daily, an original sauce recipe, and three signature cheeses that are on every pizza. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. You can say hello primo by ordering yours today. from Marcos.com. All right, we'll have Jeff Sintel coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll deal with a lot of what I just spoke about with Jeff. He can kind of, you know, separate fact from fiction when it comes to Georgia's pursuits of guys like Tyreek Stevenson and Trey Sanders, and put a punctuation mark on the coverage from Clay Webb yesterday. We'll do all that with Jeff Sintel coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, a beautiful place this time of year. Had a chance to be up there a couple of weeks ago, and they were getting decorated for the holidays. Let me tell you, that is an awesome, awesome place. I'll tell you more about a special offer that they have just for you coming up in a couple of minutes. But before that, though, and before we talk to Jeff Sintel about Clay Webb and other subjects, let me talk about Webb here for a moment as well. And I think the thing that most of us would probably say is, the Webb scenario yesterday was just such a cool, refreshing breath of fresh air. You know, Webb is a guy that is seemingly all about football. And Jeff Sintel, who we'll hear from in a couple of minutes, he kind of predicted this, that Webb would not get into one of these elaborate song and dance hat shows, that this was not going to be a circus sideshow with his commitment. And we were kind of on guard for that, that you know, there wasn't going to be a whole lot of pomp and circumstance and buildup, that when Webb had the microphone in his hand, he was going to go right to that announcement. That's basically what happened yesterday. Webb was given that chance to commit to Georgia and indeed went right to that, put on the red hat, and the rest was kind of history here. This is not a guy that cultivates a lot of attention for himself. This is not a guy that necessarily seeks the spotlight, but he does seek to be the best overall football player that he can be. And, you know, one of the things that Webb has talked about, and I thought this was kind of fascinating, that even though that the major recruiting services project him as a center, and over the course of the long term, that may indeed be the position that he grades out the best at least in terms of his, you know, NFL future, you know, he has made it very clear that one of the things that was attractive to him about Georgia was that chance to start off at guard. And listening to Webb yesterday, a guy who's not necessarily a man of many words, but going into great detail about why right now guard is just better for him than center, he, you know, kind of explains the need of a center to know the entire playbook and the entirety of the offense and be able to look and spot, you know, certain aspects of a defense. This is a guy like Webb who is, you know, cognitive, cerebral enough about the game of football to know what he needs to know as a freshman and what's going to make his pathway and progression at Georgia all the easier. I was very impressed with Webb's just plan and priorities when it comes to being the best football player he can be. I thought he really put himself forward in a really great light yesterday when he committed to the University of Georgia. And I also thought it was interesting to think that here is Clay Webb, just a couple days after making this decision, about to be in a vehicle on his way to Athens, Georgia, getting moved in and settled in and being ready to be a part of some of Georgia's bowl practices, the same way that some of Georgia's early enrollees, early signees a year ago were, leading up the national championship game. Webb actually talked about that a little bit yesterday with Dog Nation's Jeff Sintel. Here's Clay Webb on that subject.
I think this Friday I'm going to already be in the facilities and being able to practice with him.
How are you looking forward to that? What's your thoughts on that, already being a Bulldog by Friday?
It's going to be pretty crazy. I'm looking forward to it.
He's looking forward to it. It's going to be really crazy. And I would imagine that probably does feel like a pretty significant whirlwind for him to have all of this happen as fast as it did. And, you know, for a guy like Webb, he's been pulled in a lot of directions. He obviously, at least according to what Jeff Sintel's reporting was going to let the schools that he wasn't going to know that he wasn't planning on coming a couple of days before he made the announcement yesterday. Jeff has reported that Webb told Jeff that was going to be kind of a harrowing thing to have to do. Obviously, none of us like telling people what they don't want to hear. And I guess for Webb, there was maybe a little bit of anxiety about that, but now he gets to put all of that behind him and get ready to go play the game of football. And the other thing that you can't, when you talk about Clay Webb, the subject you really can't avoid here is the impact that Sam Pittman has had on all of this. And obviously Pittman has been a very popular recruiter, at least with Dog fans, since he's been at Athens. And yesterday was another example of just how impactful Sam Pittman can be. And when you look at the success that Georgia's enjoyed, going to major bowls here in two consecutive years, being the college football playoff last year, being one of the favorites to return to the college football playoff in 2019, if you look at the reasons why that has happened, I think on the very shortest of short lists of why, obviously that includes Sam Pittman, a guy that has had a massive, massive impact on Georgia in all of the signing classes that he's been a part of here at UGA, and Clay Webb becomes the latest example of that. So yesterday was a big day for the Dogs. Bulldogs, getting a player, an elite name to add to this 2019 roster, and there's a lot of excitement to come about who could be joining Webb and how this 2019 class can fill its way out as we head towards the start of the early signing period there on December 19th. Really fascinating stuff. And by the way, great job by our buddy Connor Riley and Jeff Sintel on the scene yesterday at Oxford High School to bring all this to you. And I know that many of you are just like me, so happy that the news was good for UGA and Clay Webb is indeed in the mix. Around the Doghouse here on Tuesdays on Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by our friends at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, the perfect place to go and get away during the holidays. And what makes it even better right now is your chance to use the special Brasstown Valley Dog Nation special, which is only for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. You can get 20% off any room booked between now and March 31st. Just go to BrasstownValley.com and use the promo code DOG18. That's D-A-W-G, DOG18. The discount is available until December 31st. So you want to act right now. It's subject to availability and blackout dates do apply, but it is a beautiful, beautiful place to be. Right there in beautiful Towns County, Georgia, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. Make sure you check that out. All right, we've got a busy show for you. Later on, I think I'm going to ask what I think is kind of a provocative question about Kirby Smart in light of maybe Smart not getting as much credit as he should be getting for some of the work that he's done at Georgia this season. We'll do that later on. But for now, though, I know a lot of you have a lot of questions when it comes to Georgia's 2019 recruiting class and where all this is going from here. Let's get ready to get some more updates from that as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all as we welcome in Jeff Sintel here to Dog Nation Daily. It's great to have you with us as well.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
It is a Marlowe's Tavern tell-all Tuesday with Jeff Sintel here. And Jeff, I obviously want to talk to you a lot about the behind-the-scenes stuff that you got from Clay Webb yesterday in Oxford, Alabama, what that was like sort of in person. We saw it all on video. The behind-the-scenes portion of that, though, will be fun to hear about in a moment. If you don't mind, though, let me begin with something else. Before you join us on today's show, I talked about that huge flurry of Twitter activity yesterday from Nolan Smith and Trayvon Walker and Ryan Davis and Jermaine Johnson, and then seeing uncommitted players like Trey Sanders and Tyreek Stevenson getting the mix. What was that about? Was that a planned campaign? Why did the zone get so flooded yesterday by these Georgia commits kind of reaffirming their commitment? Were they just kind of in a good mood based on what Clay Webb had done? What did you make of all that Twitter activity yesterday?
I guess it's kind of just a lot of people visits on with Brandon, cool pictures that they couldn't wait to share on social media. I think that's kind of what the world is. They get these pictures, they want to put them out. Obviously, it was a huge momentum spike type day for Georgia with Smith, which is basically to me one of those water is wet tweets, or maybe that will allow tailgating next season at the University of Georgia prior to Georgia football games. That had about that much suspense for me. And then you saw Trevon Walker, another guy, you know, it was just kind of a big affirmation day. But really what it is maybe in the end, the long run, is a big show cards day where a lot of people affirm themselves on the socially, I guess, or on social media about Georgia. And that puts to rest a lot of other folks. And then it also they made sure to tag certain people in the tweets that also caught a lot of attention.
Well, that's one of the things that also caught my attention, as you might imagine as well. Trey Sanders, the five-star running back, kind of jokingly comes on top of the Nolan Smith tweet to say, hey, you got room for me there at Georgia. Now, this is one of those moments where, Jeff, I guess I need to try to be as fair and balanced as I possibly can, because I'm always the quickest one to say that Twitter oftentimes can be a false positive, that, you know, when Nolan Smith was tweeting about Alabama, I was telling folks that didn't necessarily mean anything. I guess if that's true in that direction, it's probably also true in the other direction, at least potentially, that Trey Sanders tweeting about Georgia might not necessarily mean anything either. He just took a visit to UGA this past weekend. You were with us on Friday explaining why Georgia may be more in this thing than some people might realize. What do you make of Sanders' activity on social media yesterday and kind of where things stand with Georgia and Sanders in this, what would look like on paper at least anyway, to be an uphill climb in battling Alabama and Florida this late in the game here for such an elite running back prospect?
Yeah, Brandon, let's pull all the Twitter breadcrumbs into the center of the table. I know you noticed probably all those Trey Sanders tweets, but I'm sure, knowing the astute observer of all things in the Watchtower that you are, I'm sure you also saw that Noah Cain is now planning an official visit to Tennessee for this weekend when he was purposely and kind of all shut down with the official visits. Yeah. I think most are out there are savvy enough to realize maybe they put that emoji to their chin and go, why in the world would Noah Kane want to take an official visit to Tennessee now? I'll let you ponder over that one.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I, you know, Jeff, I'll be the first to tell you that I love the process of recruiting. I love the chess match that gets played here. And if I'm Kirby Smart and Del McGee, I guess this is a gamble that I'm willing to take. You know, obviously, Noah Kane's a very good player, and by spending so much time and attention on Trey Sanders now, Georgia runs the risk of losing Noah Kane to a Tennessee or a Penn State, or I guess maybe even still a Texas, although it doesn't seem like I've heard as much about them as of late, that you may run the risk of losing Noah Kane, but I do believe as a prospect, Trey Sanders is good enough that that's a risk if I'm Georgia I'm willing to take. Would you agree with that in terms of the gamble that the Georgia coaching staff appears to be taking here?
Well, that's interesting, Brandon. First of all, I think those two guys are very tight. If you want to call them the Sony Michel and Nick Chubb of IMG football, you probably could. Those guys are very close. They usually finish each other's sentences. So I think that's very interesting how, you know, maybe what Noah Kane is doing maybe says something about what the greater picture is for both of those guys. And here's a point I want to make sure I nail in for you and dial in for the audience and everybody out there. I get that it's a high-stakes poker game if you want to risk losing the nation's number 7 or 8 running back in the quest for the nation's number 1 running back. I think that's a savvy strategy everybody looks at. The one thing I will say, and, you know, there's so many players that come to the University of Georgia or any school, any big-time SEC school. The reason why I really like a prospect like Noah Kane or anybody out of the IMG program is they've already kind of been put through what I call 13th grade football, which is kind of the meat grinder. It mimics as closely as anything can a college atmosphere, a college environment, meetings, strength and conditioning, time management, studies, living abroad. And I think those ING kids have a lower bust factor than other players out there. You know, Georgia seeking, you know, let's just say all this unravels for Georgia, worst case scenario. Well, there's Kenny McIntosh, there's DJ Williams. Those are the options for Georgia at running back should Georgia miss on both Trey Sanders and Noah Kane. The feeling of confidence you have with an IMG kid is you know that they're going to be used to the work, they're going to be used to a college environment, and they're also going to be used to practicing every day against players that are probably just as good as they are. So you know they've been sharpened. That's why I say a lot on the forum, those IMG guys have a higher floor, whereas maybe a guy like DJ Williams and other guys, Kenny McIntosh, you don't really know their ceiling yet. And that's why I think, and I know that's kind of a long and windy tour of what I think about there, I think a guy like Noah Kane is destined to be a very productive college back, maybe not the elite back that some see in Trey Sanders.
So you were in Oxford, Alabama yesterday, and by the way, it's our Marlowe's Tavern Tell with Jeff Sintel. Jeff, good enough to join us from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the site of today's state championships here in the state of Georgia. He's good enough to break away from that to be with us here for our Marlowe's Tavern Tell. Jeff, we really appreciate that. But you were yesterday in Oxford, Alabama. It's been a busy time for you. You saw the Clay Webb decision live. We brought that to you on the Dog Nation video channels. But behind the scenes, away from the cameras, once the lights got turned off, what was it like being in the room yesterday with Webb, his family, his friends, the Oxford community? What was the experience like for you to be there on the scene yesterday?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess there's a great story to tell there that's going to be on Dog Nation soon. As soon as I quit watching these state championships today. But, you know, to me, the thing about Webb is you saw a kid, a young man, that I don't know if I'll ever cover a recruit quite like this. He loses his phone 3 or 4 months before his decision comes down, doesn't replace it, still will not take an official visit, will very likely be practicing or getting ready and working out with Georgia for bowl practices on Friday if he has his druthers. I mean, this is just a different kid. He will still never take an official visit. He does it all on his own dime. That family feels that, why would they want somebody to pay for them to come see an opportunity where they might potentially receive a free ride college education? It's just a different way of looking at things, a very humble way of looking at things. And the whole family, you know, we've reported about him a lot, how he has more family in Georgia. He's got he's got an uncle and an aunt that are right there in Bogart, as close as they can get. Lord knows their grocery bill is about to go up over the next 3 or 4 years. But with Clay Webb, it was almost like, it almost seemed like it was almost too good to be true. His mother wanted to retire from the education system in Alabama. She wanted to pursue another career, continue her career as a teacher or teacher advocate, PE teacher in the state of Georgia. That way she could get retirement income in Alabama. It's commonly known as double dipping when educators cross state lines so they can get two salaries and two incomes at the same time. This made a lot of sense for Georgia, but especially the conviction in his mouth, the conviction in his eyes when he said, I couldn't pass up the chance to play for Sam Pittman. He couldn't pass up the chance to be a part of that offensive line. And hope you guys saw our coverage yesterday. I hope you guys read our coverage yesterday. But if you didn't, he's not a center, guys. He's rated as a center. This is kind of a recruiting site anomaly. Going to be a guard at Georgia. And what shapes up there for Georgia is the best possible scenario at interior line, I think, that any college in the country could ever assemble.
So that's interesting, Jeff. Obviously, he talked about wanting to play guard, but when he explained that to you yesterday, he was kind of going into that from the standpoint of, you know, the difficulty of playing center early on. But based on what you just said there, you think that he's going to be a guard for the entirety of his career. Is that correct? You think that Trey Hill, Jamari Salyer, Warren Erickson, maybe more in that, you know, group of centers of the future for Georgia, following up on the great center that Georgia's had this year? It sounds like you think that Clay Webb is more along the lines of a guard for his career.
Well, it's funny. I talked to a couple of the coaches that have seen him, a couple of coaches that have worked for him for the last 2 years, and they look at Clay Webb this way. They look at him because of his great feet. Most likely spot is guard. They think he will land there. Second most likely spot is actually tackle because he has very great feet. And then although he's not 6'5 and 330 like some of the ways that Coach Pittman and the staff likes now for Georgia, great fit. I want everybody to remember Isaiah Wynn, for example. So you've got that to look at. And, you know, maybe in a lot of places, Clay Webb could come in and play center and maybe earn the starting job by next fall. But Georgia's not one of those places. I think the fact that Georgia has stacked up Warren Erickson, Trey Hill, and Jamari Salyer already as potential center types, I think that gives Georgia a lot of luxury to not have to fast-track Clay Webb anywhere, get him used to college, get him used to the weight room, get him used to the playing speed of high-level SEC football, and they can see where he develops and see where he progresses. I'm thinking maybe late sophomore, late junior year, he might give center a look, but there's no need to right now at Georgia.
All right, let me do a couple quick things with you before we let you go here as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Tell-All, because I know you want to get back to watching some football here today. Obviously, that's a head-to-head battle that Georgia just won against Alabama for Clay Webb. It gets some Georgia fans thinking about other head-to-head battles between the two programs. We mentioned Trey Sanders a moment ago. There's also N'Kobe Dean out there. What's the latest on Dean? This has been kind of a weird recruitment to follow. It does seem like this one is really heading towards that Crimson Tide UGA showdown here. Any new news on the Dean front as of late?
So N'Kobe Dean is taking all of his in-home visits yesterday and today. He just got through with his visits over the weekend. And now all of his in-homes are going to take place on Monday and Tuesday of this week. Wednesday, he's going to be at Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Classic practices. Those will be in Montgomery, Alabama on Wednesday. That's going to be the 12th. His birthday is on the 13th. My information, guys, tells me that that's when N'Kobe Dean will make his decision. Him and his family will sit around the table, wherever that table's at. It's going to have to be in Montgomery, Alabama, and hash out where it's going to be, the pros and the cons and everything like that. And then that's when they'll start letting schools know a couple of days after that in advance of everything. Brandon, you're absolutely right to say that's probably a Georgia-Alabama battle. I think battles for Georgia, between Georgia and Alabama, for Trey Sanders, N'Kobe Dean, the one that was just completed yesterday for Clay Webb, I think those battles will go a long way towards determining who's going to be the number two class this year, who's going to be the number one class this year, and just how tight the race for one versus two is actually going to turn out to be.
All right, let me do two quick rumors before we let you go. There have been some Ole Miss message boards talking a little bit lately about John Rhys Plumlee, who at Georgia is a quarterback commit. Is there a potential change of status coming with John Rhys Plumlee? Because there's certainly some rumblings coming out of Oxford, Mississippi about Ole Miss maybe trying to get involved here with Plumlee, and I don't know what that means for Georgia necessarily. But any potential status change with John Rhys Plumlee coming?
I think that's a very much a fluid situation, Brandon. I think the best thing you can kind of say there is Georgia will always sign the best 25 players it possibly can. Maybe it decides everything went so well with Hawaiian quarterback Dylan Gabriel over the weekend. Lots of information I've got about Gabriel is that visit went very, very well. So you got to wonder, maybe Georgia could be loading up at another position, which allows it the flexibility to not take two quarterbacks in this cycle. It's going to be very interesting down the line because Plumlee did elevate his game and elevate his status over the course of his senior year. Just going to be interesting with who Ole Miss, that home state school, has taken a quarterback in this class, and also that they've taken in previous years with a guy like Matt Corral.
Sure.
Still with Georgia, it's going to be huge because they definitely need more scholarship arms for many reasons. Maybe the simplest of those is they need more quarterbacks. They need more D1 level quarterbacks with big arms and good skill sets to run effective practices every week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me do one more rumor before we let you go. And I apologize for not remembering the source. I believe this was the Ohio State 24/7 site mentioning Doug Nestor, a current Ohio State commit, but also kind of looking around at some other schools. And one of the schools that got mentioned in this report was Georgia. And obviously, Jeff Nestor is one of the top, you know, rated players in the country, but he's basically a guard, something that Georgia just got yesterday and already has a lot of. Is this an insurance policy, Georgia's potential involvement in Nestor, based on the fact that if it doesn't get a Darnell Wright or an Evan Neal of somebody of that caliber, why would Georgia be involved, at least seemingly based on this report coming out of Columbus, in another elite guards recruitment when the position of need is so obviously tackle?
Yeah, a lot of people think, Some people think he's a tackle. If you watch his film, Nestor's definitely a guard, an interior guard, a guy all the way there. I think Nestor is just one of those guys that a staff stays on just in case, because these young men and their decisions they make are always so up and down. I think Nestor is a guy that, maybe the best movement for him might happen if he takes a late official visit this weekend. That's the one thing where you sit there and go, things might get serious there with Doug Nestor, because you're very right to point out a guy that's rated as a guard doesn't really seem like that's a position of need for Georgia now, especially with what's left in the class of 19 recruiting cycle and those needs. And then you see a guy like a Warren McClendon who can also very well play guard. I mean, looking at what Georgia stacked up at guard center over the next two or three years with eligibility, you got guys like Kenley, Kip Cleveland, Justin Schaefer, Jabari Salyer, Trey Hill, now Clay Webb. I mean, that's kind of just an embarrassment of riches to roll over at that position. So I think Nestor might be one of those wait-and-see guys.
Yeah, I think you may be right about that. And I know, speaking of seeing, you want to see some more high school football there at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll let you do that. I guess, Jeff, it's Trezvan Marshall on the field right now, Jaden Hazelwood a little later on today. Is that kind of the schedule there from MBS?
Yeah, if I know Jaden, there'll be a few interesting things that'll happen today, probably both between the whistles and after the whistles. You've got him playing a very strong Peach County team. Peach County has a huge offensive tackle, Terrence Ferguson, who's seemingly at Georgia for visits every week. He's a class of 2021 prospect. And then I want everybody to think about the Bainbridge game. Bainbridge is going to take on Warner Robins, and that's got a lot of Georgia-centric storylines.
Yeah.
It's funny, Dylan Fromm, Jake Fromm's younger brother, he has a chance to win a state title, and that might be the one thing big brother Jake never did. Both Dylan and Tyler, the twins, have a chance to do that today. And that's very interesting because I know those boys like everybody does, they like to play a game of one-ups, and that's in outdoor activities or wildlife feats and those two twins are known to brag about the fish that they catch that are bigger than the ones Jake catches. So I gotta imagine a state title that's brought home will be something they'll always hold over Big Brother for a long time. That'll be very interesting. But the one thing about that game is a very strong Bainbridge team. They were 5-5. Their young talent has exploded. And there's a young man we're going to write a little bit on the Dog Nation site sometime this week. A freshman do-everything type guy for Bainbridge, who reminds a lot of folks of some of the best players to ever come out of South Georgia. And remember, this Bainbridge team knocked off Buford, knocked off a lot of heavyweights along the way to get to this spot.
Yeah, Jeff, that's really good stuff. We'll look forward to your coverage of that. Look forward to seeing some of those UGA recruits there in the building there. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, always nice to see state champions potentially have a chance to join Georgia for its signing class. Thanks for being here on the Marlowe's Tavern Tell All. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you so much.
Hey, and Brandon, quick thing. We've got college coaches on the sideline as usual. Kevin Shear, Glenn Schumann, Bakari Rambo. We've got SEC staffs also checking it out as well.
Always nice to see that, Jeff. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate that.
Have a good one, guys.
Good stuff there on the Marlowe's Tavern Tell All with Jeff Sintel. And speaking of good stuff, you can also get some good stuff as well with Marlowe's Tavern. I know it's this time of year, it's really hard to kind of finish out those holiday shopping lists. Well, Marlowe's Tavern gives you a chance to do holiday shopping without the heavy lifting. You can go to Marlowe's Tavern right now, the Marlowe's there in your neighborhood, or online at marlowestavern.com. Get a $50 Marlowe's Tavern gift card, which makes a great gift for anyone on your list. And when you do that, you're going to get a gift of your own, a bottle of Michelle Brut sparkling wine, and an even better offer than that when you get a $100 Marlowe's Tavern gift card, because after all, what would be better than more Marlowe's? $100 Marlowe's Tavern gift card. In addition to the Michelle Brut sparkling wine, they're also going to give you a bonus $20 Marlowe's Tavern gift card, which if I could encourage you, I'd say keep that one for yourself there as well. Get yourself a gift when you get other people gifts. That's why Marlowe's Tavern is making holiday shopping a lot of fun this holiday season. So check them out online at marlowestavern.com or at the Marlowe's Tavern in your neighborhood.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff with Jeff Sintel. Really appreciate him kind of giving us an update on where a lot of this stuff is heading towards the start of the early signing period. And, you know, I thought that Jeff used a really interesting word when he discussed John Rhys Plumlee. John Rhys Plumlee, who at Georgia is a quarterback commit, at other schools, you know, maybe they're still recruiting as an athlete. You know, I guess some of that kind of stuff is to be determined a little bit with Plumlee. You know, he's kind of an interesting guy because when he first joined Georgia's class, the major recruiting services listed him as an athlete. And as Jeff also pointed out, we've talked about from time to time, a lot of times these recruiting services, the position they list you at is not necessarily the position you'll play in college. We've seen, you know, a lot of outside linebackers who will play inside linebacker in college, or defensive ends who will play, you know, more like defensive tackle in college. We see a lot of that, you know, from time to time in the recruiting rankings necessarily. But in Plumlee's case, he was originally listed as an athlete, but he did evolve over the course of his final season there in high school as a quarterback. He's now a top 10 dual threat quarterback in the country. Nowhere near the same kind of prospect that Justin Fields was, or Jake Fromm was, or Jacob Eason was, but a guy that has grown in stature as a quarterback prospect as of late. But as Jeff said, Georgia's been interested in other quarterbacks, and it's also interested in getting the best players he can get for all of its scholarship spots. No matter how many that Georgia gets a chance to sign this year, it wants to sign the best players that it can get, which has maybe put the John Rhys Plumlee situation in flux a little bit. I know Jeff will have more for you on that coming up at DogNation.com, but we appreciate his info on that at least for right now. By the way, I also want to make you aware of a couple other really cool things that are coming up this week. I was talking about, you know, holiday gift-giving. Kroger's got a great opportunity for you as well. Kroger and Vince Dooley are teaming up together for some really fun book signings at Kroger's near you. First of all, tomorrow, Vince Dooley is going to be at the Kroger in Woodstock. That's 2295 Town Lake Parkway. Once again, 2295 Town Lake Parkway. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. He's going to be signing a couple of his books, either Dooley, My 40 Years at Georgia, or his newest book, which is The Legion's Fighting Bulldog, which is a really, really cool look at an interesting time in history. Dooley's going to be signing both those books. And then on the following day, Thursday, going to be at the Kroger in Dalton. That's 1365 West Walnut Avenue. Once again, from 4 to 6 p.m., also signing his books there. So it's either Wednesday in Woodstock for Coach Dooley, or Wednesday in Dalton at the Kroger there. Both these events from 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday at the Kroger in Woodstock, Thursday at the Kroger in Dalton. You can see Coach Dooley, get a book signed from him, and that is a great holiday gift for that dog fan in your life. So really cool stuff there at the Kroger in Woodstock and the Kroger in Dalton. We really appreciate them hosting that great event with Coach Vince Dooley. All right, let me do some SEC through stuff here for a moment. And I couldn't help but notice that Greg Little, the terrific offensive tackle at Ole Miss, made a pretty significant announcement yesterday. Little let it be known on Twitter that he is now moving on. And I think we have this. Yeah, there's Greg Little on Twitter saying that he's now moving on, saying goodbye to his Ole Miss family, and he's not going to enter the NFL draft. And I'm not a draft expert, but my guess is Greg Little is in all likelihood going to be a first-round draft pick. I'm thinking that's probably – yeah, Little's a big-time prospect. What's amazing to me about this is how quickly the Little career has gone at Ole Miss. I mean, it seems like just yesterday that he was stepping in there as a, you know, as an offensive tackle, starting as a freshman there at Ole Miss. You blink your eyes, and it is over. Now he's moving on the NFL. I don't mean to bring up a touchy subject, but, I mean, think about this from the Georgia standpoint for a moment. Do you know that next year is Andrew Thomas's junior season at Georgia? And Georgia starter at right tackle, Isaiah Wilson, will be in his redshirt sophomore season. Do you realize that after next season, both Isaiah Wilson and Andrew Thomas will be eligible for the NFL draft? Now, listen, I'm not trying to wish away their eligibility. I'm not certainly not trying to push them out the door. But it is fair to bring up. That is how quickly college careers go away. I mean, it seems like just yesterday we were sitting at Marlowe's Tavern with Andrew Thomas, with him talking about going to Georgia. And here we are next year thinking about, as Greg Little shows us from Ole Miss, the potential of this being the end of his time at Georgia. All the more reason why, as Jeff Sintel was just touching on, Georgia has got some real work to do to recruit these offensive tackles. Georgia is doing a great job with the interior offensive linemen. It is amazing how many future centers and guards Georgia seems to have right now. But in terms of those elite tackles, seems like Georgia's still got some work to do there to make sure the next generation of Isaiah Wilson and Andrew Thomas are in the program, because as the Greg Little news demonstrates, you know, 3 years and gone for these top offensive tackles, and maybe Isaiah Wilson and Andrew Thomas could be in the same situation next year. All right, let me do a couple other really quick SEC through stories, because I've kind of run through my music there. Something I should have talked about yesterday and just didn't have time to. Auburn's premier running back signee from 2018, Asa Martin, has decided to leave the program. And there's a little bit of controversy here, as you might imagine, around Auburn. Martin, I guess, is upset. He feels like his redshirt situation was mishandled by the Auburn coaching staff. I don't know the true story behind all of this or you know, everything that's gone on here, but this is another example of a potential black eye for Auburn in terms of how it's handled situations. They've lost a lot of players to transfer as of late, and you know, this was so bad, I guess, or this, along with a lot of other things, you saw Alan Green, the new Auburn AD, have to come back out again yesterday and issue another statement of support for Gus Malzahn. This is kind of a messy situation there at Auburn. It is not seemingly getting much better anytime soon. You also had Hugh Freeze, the former Ole Miss coach, current new Liberty coach, go on WJOX yesterday, and he was asked about the temptation, and obviously Freeze has dealt with his share of temptations, but the temptation to become an SEC offensive coordinator as opposed to a head coach at Liberty. And Freeze admitted, yeah, that was there. He didn't mention the Auburn name or Auburn opening in specifics here, but did mention that he was strongly considering coming to the SEC to be an offensive coordinator. He said some nice things about Gus Malzahn. Obviously, they are friends. It was widely believed that Malzahn wanted to hire Freeze, and was also widely reported by a lot of the Auburn sites that Auburn was making it very difficult for Malzahn to be able to do that, limiting the amount of money he could spend on assistant coaches, limiting his opportunity to do multi-year contracts, things like that, that Auburn was trying to make life hard on Malzahn, and blocking Freeze from coming was their way of doing that. Another example of the real weird drama surrounding that situation right now. Then a couple other real quick stories I'll get to. Mike Elko, the Texas A&M defensive coordinator, is in the mix apparently for the Temple head coach job. Obviously, that job's now open because Jeff Collins became tech coach. Why do I mention this? Because next year, Georgia does host Texas A&M for the first time since the Aggies have been in the SEC. Elko's one of the best defensive coordinators in the business. if he, and he is going to be on in line for a lot of head coaching jobs, if he were to depart, that does change the scenario for Texas A&M just a little bit, a team that I believe will be ranked in the top 10 when they play Georgia next season. So pay attention to that Mike Elko news, whatever happens with that coming out of College Station. And then one more piece of news, former Colorado coach has been announced as Ole Miss defensive coordinator. They act quickly to try to correct what was, I mean, if there's a defense in major college football much worse than Ole Miss, it's hard to find. They were terrible defensively this season, and they try to correct that with a guy who was just a head coach. So it's kind of a situation where an SEC defensive coordinator and a Colorado head coach have kind of trade places. Tucker goes out to Colorado to become head coach, and McIntyre comes into the SEC as a DC. We will see how all that works out. We'll make that your SEC through. And by the way, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, let me turn my attention back to Georgia here for a moment. And I couldn't help but notice that when the AP All-American team was announced yesterday, Georgia only had two guys on the team. You had DeAndre Baker, as probably not a surprise, was the first team All-SEC cornerback. And you had Andrew Thomas, who we just talked about before, who was second team All-American left tackle. So those guys made the team. That was it from Georgia. Just those two guys, which is kind of an interesting scenario. Given the fact that Georgia was on the doorstep of getting back in the college football playoff once again, almost beat Alabama, and yet did not have a strong representation on the All-American teams. And what that kind of leads me to wonder about is, so if Georgia was that successful with that few All-American level players, what does that say about Kirby Smart? Either Georgia was underrepresented on the All-American team, maybe it was, or Georgia was accurately represented and Kirby Smart got more out of this team than could have maybe been expected. I mean, I think there is a little bit of a chance here that that Kirby is a little bit of an underrated coach, because you know what the dominant narrative on Smart is? Oh, he's a great recruiter, but is he truly a good game coach? Does he truly prepare his team the way that he needs to? And obviously, the fake punt on 4th and 11, the SEC championship, adds that narrative a little bit. And sometimes even Kirby Smart's own words add to that narrative a little bit. After all, he said in the past that when it comes to the importance of talent acquisition, he says that's the real name of the game, and the coaching part of this, to a certain extent, just kind of overrated. In fact, here is Kirby Smart essentially making that same point.
I learned a long time ago, when you take a job, you need to have proximity to players, and you need to be able to have better players, because the coaching part can be overrated.
So it's obviously he doesn't help his own cause as an in-game coach when he says things like that. But clearly the impact that a coach makes in terms of strategy and preparation and overall player development is not overrated. And Kirby Smart, in terms of his ability to accomplish that kind of stuff, he may very well be underrated. Because to see Georgia be as successful as it was this season, with as young a roster as it had, and apparently as few All-American-level players as it had, obviously something had to be serving as the explanation for a lot of that success. And I think the impact that Smart has made as a coach, in addition to being a terrific acquirer of talent, is also a pretty good developer of talent as well. And the success that Georgia's enjoyed this season is another example of that. All right, let's get ready to wrap up here, and we'll do our Marlowe's Minute as we look one more time at recruiting before we get ready to get out of here on this Tuesday. And I'll remind you once again that Jeff Sintel was with us from Mercedes-Benz Stadium a moment ago, where the state championship games are ongoing right now. You've got a Georgia commit involved in the action. Tresman Marshall is also kind of one of those guys who's recently reaffirmed his status to Georgia on social media. He's playing as I'm doing this show in the 10 a.m. hour. Marshall's playing right now. Georgia target Jaden Hayeswood a little bit later on. As Jeff Sintel also pointed out, you've got Kirby Smart's alma mater, Bainbridge, taking on Jake Fromm's brother in Warner Robins. That should be kind of a fun game to say. Our buddy Connor Riley was saying earlier, wonder if there's any kind of friendly wager between the Smarts and the Fromms on that. That's kind of a funny thing to think about. So make sure you check out Dog Nation coverage of that. It's our Marlowe's Minute here. By the way, also, 773 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. It's our Gator Hitter Updater. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.